The second reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. It can be found on page 1195 in the Church Bibles. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of that life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but now it has been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed herald, and I am apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you had a letter from Paul, do you think you'd be pleased or worried? If you were Timothy and you got a second letter from Paul, I think in one sense I'd probably be worried, you know, oh no, what does he want this time? Paul has written to Timothy already, that's why we call it 1 Timothy, with practical advice for organising the church that he leads in Ephesus. And now Paul writes to encourage him as the church is still struggling, particularly with opposition from the local community. In Ephesus, the Jewish sector don't like the Christian message that Jesus was the Messiah, the one that they should have been waiting for. And the local Roman cult of Diana, you might remember, is losing out financially from those becoming Christians, because if God loves us and we don't have to do anything, then you don't have to spend all this money on little statues of Diana and or whatever that they sold. They had a great gift system going for tourists, etc., who came to Ephesus, travellers. So there was quite a lot of opposition to the Christian church, and that made life difficult for Timothy. It's not a bed of roses for Paul, as we'll find out. But Paul opens the letter with a hint of how he means to go on. Paul, because that's the way you did it in those days. You started with who the letter was from. Have you had a letter? And you got halfway through and thought, who's this from? I can't. Where's the signature at the end? Why'd you sign a letter at the end? Anyway, they signed it at the beginning. But he says, from Paul, an apostle by the will of God. God had a purpose and a role for Paul, as he does for us all, as his children. And Paul wants to lay that down. God has a purpose for each of us. His purpose for me was to be an apostle, his representative to a whole new area of ministry. And then he goes on, according to the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. God's purpose is in reference to what we're about. It's the promise of eternal life we have because, to use a typical Pauline phrase, we are in Christ. Here he says we are in Christ Jesus, but elsewhere he just says we're in Christ. And that whole idea is that we have been united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. That's part of the symbolism of our baptism. We've been transferred to a new life because we are in Christ. And through what Christ has done on the cross and by his resurrection, we have been brought out to a new life in mystical union with him, to accept him as our Lord, and because we're going places. And eventually, we're going to a new creation in heaven. Paul is going on to say, you see, to Timothy, that God is calling him for a purpose and that he is to be confident and not fearful because what it doesn't depend on Timothy. What happens to the church in Ephesus, what happens to Timothy, depends on the fact that he is in Christ. And it was normal in a Greek letter not only to tell people who was writing, but to start off with a bit of thanks. It might be, thank you for your last letter. I can't remember what it said, but thank you for your last letter or whatever. It might be, I thank you because you've been a good friend to me over the years. Paul uses that system, but time and again, actually, in many of his letters, he will start by saying, thanks to God, because that's what's on Paul's mind. He addresses his thanks rightly. And it's strange, really, because Paul has this quite a good grasp about giving thanks to God. And in some ways, I think thanksgiving is possibly the weakest aspect of our prayer life in this modern age, certainly at Christchurch. We rejoice in good things that happen after we've prayed. But that sense that Paul has of continually giving thanks is missing. We've just had Harvest Thanksgiving this morning. And, it was a time when we give thanks to God for all his good gifts. And there's bags and bags of stuff in there to represent our sense of thanksgiving to God. For our food, maybe for our world, for nature around us. We sang a lovely newish hymn this morning, which sort of went through, started in outer space and came all the way down to dinner on a plate. Great stuff. That we've got lots to thank God for. But if we've got that much to thank God for our daily food, we should be having bag loads of thanks brought to church every week, shouldn't we? And yet, do we? So often, I don't know what you're like, but so often, Paul says he's constantly giving thanks. But we kind of tend to skimp on it. I mean, we live amongst people who seem always able to find something to moan about. But surely, perhaps God deserves more thanks for all that he's done. A friend of mine had a stroke fairly recently. He lost movement all down his left side and couldn't walk, couldn't talk. But there's a pioneering thing that's happening in Southmead Hospital, and they put a tube in him fairly quickly, all up, the way they do through your body, and having mapped where the blockages were that caused the stroke, two of them he had. They sent up, and on the end of this tube is apparently something like a polythene bag. And as they inflate it, it goes round the blockage. And then they pull it back out. And then they went in and got the other one. It took them 4.5 hours, because you have to be careful about wiggling wires through human bodies. Do not try this at home. But... But the result was, within two or three days, he was walking and talking. 2 weeks later, you could hardly tell, I could hardly tell that there was anything wrong with him. His wife says, I've got a walking miracle. I can't thank God enough. Of course she can't. But there's masses of stuff. My attitude to God's goodness seems so often, oh, God's done it again, isn't that good? No, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Paul is continually giving thanks for things, and he gives thanks for Timothy, his faith, and what God has done for him so far in his life. I give thanks to God because he's brought you this far. Paul's gratitude for God's grace should also encourage Timothy. He remembers how Timothy was tearful when Paul parted from him. You can read about that in Acts chapter 20 if you missed out on it. God's grace should be obvious for Timothy because Timothy has seen the grace of God at work for years in his family. You were encouraged and you received because the faith was in your gran and in your mum. I had a little view of the interview with Katrina Johnson Thompson. Do you know who Katrina Johnson Thompson is? She heptathlete, gold medal in the world, brilliant British girl. And she was saying how she'd been inspired and helped and encouraged when things were difficult by the friendship of those who'd gone before her. Jessica Ennis Hill, who won a gold medal in 2012, and Denise Lewis, who won a gold medal in 2000. And in particular, when she was looking for a new coach a few years ago, Denise travelled with her to France to suss out somebody who became her coach. For some of us, that faith in other family members has been a huge encouragement. For others of us, we may not have had close family, but more long-standing Christians have inspired us and encouraged us on our journey. And I can think of two or three people who years ago were a great inspiration or encouragement or help because I could see the Christian faith at work in them, and they talked and chatted and walked with me to encourage that faith in me. And yesterday we had a lovely service where Angeline was licensed as a new reader, but it's on Reader's Day when the readers have a sort of conference in the morning and then the service in the afternoon. Readers rededicate themselves to their ministry in different churches. And after the service, two of the readers I had in Clevedon came up to me and they said, how great to see you. Because they've now been readers long enough that they're involved in the sort of running of the day. You know, they've been around long enough. They're roped in to help set up the reader's day, you see. They said, how lovely to see you. Because the present vicar is warden of readers for the deanery. So he was there in a sort of semi-official capacity. I was there, of course, supporting Angeline, but I was also their vicar who got them licensed as readers years ago. But they said, not only that, my predecessor was there because he's retired back down to the south of the diocese and his wife is still a reader. So she went on the Reader's Day and he was there supporting her as well. And they said, we can look back over 30 years of encouragement and support that has brought us to where we are today. And Paul says, look back. I know some of you can go back further than that in your Christian life. Yeah, but look back and give thanks to God and realise that you should be encouraged because you've been helped along the way by others that you look to and who encourage you in your Christian journey. Of course, there's a little rider to that because we're ones that are being looked at by others today. If you've been encouraged in the past, there are others to encourage, to help, and to come along. We don't journey alone. The work is not ours alone. Others have gone before and others will come after us. But the same grace of God is at work in us that was in work, at work in them. So be thankful for God's gracious faithfulness. It's the same faith, the same God we believe in. So we can trust it will be the same grace and strength that we will receive in Christ. Being thankful for God's grace should also encourage us to fulfill the purpose God has for us. So Paul tells Timothy that really, he challenges Timothy really to courageous witness in a difficult situation. And he tells Timothy, to stir up is the usual English translation. And we do use it about a fire, don't we? You stir up the fire with a poker and, you know, it gets going again. Yeah. And then you might put another log on or whatever. But most of us now use gas, don't we? And stir up is more coupled with trouble. You know, we think of, he stirs up trouble. You know, that one. But if Paul applied the phrase to a barbecue, the words would be fire up, if you like, and that's what he's trying to do. Paul doesn't want a waggle with a wooden spoon. He wants to ignite Timothy. God gives gifts to all his people for the building up of the saints and the propagation of his glory. And so, he says, look, it might be tough going, but don't let God's purpose go. Don't let God's gift to you go simply because it started to get hard. Some of us went on a walk on Tuesday, all in our wet weather gear, because they promised us thunderstorms and goodness knows what, and we thought, well, never mind, we've said we're going to go. You know, that sort of thing. And it was a fairly level walk, lovely, and for most of the time the sun shone, so I don't know where the thunderstorms were, but anyway, we had a great time. But towards the end of the walk, we had to go up from where we were, up a slope and onto a road. And as we got up the slope, it was getting, Dave, who was leading the walk, said, oh, I apologise for this, this is quite hard work, because we'd started going up. But I mean, it wasn't very long, and you know, it wasn't bad, but at the time, yes, we were going uphill suddenly towards the end of the walk when we'd have liked to be going downhill. Paul says, because you've got a little difficulty, because things are tough at the moment, you know, we certainly weren't going to give up on the walk and say, well, I'll tell you what, if it's going to get tough like that, I'll walk back the way we came, because that would have been far harder. Paul says, don't give up. You're to fire up and realise it's not down purely to us and our abilities. God gives gifts to his people for the building up of the saints, the propagation of his glory. It's down to God at work in us. And he is at work in us for a purpose. So Timothy is to reignite his gifts in order to provide a bold witness for God. And two of the things that really strike other people is when Christians go through suffering but are able to endure it by God's help through his Spirit. That speaks volumes. The other is where we have confidence to say what we believe, not in a hectoring way, but in a way that shows our confidence and the integrity of our faith, in that it's woven into the warp and weft of our lives. God gave the Holy Spirit, and his biggest first effect was to turn timid disciples into brave apostles. It's a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. And if we tend to duck out from thanking God, we're often far worse at ducking out from bearing witness to God in our lives by letting many opportunities sort of slide past us, because it might be potentially embarrassing to sort of mention God in these circumstances. Paul reminds Timothy that it was Paul's witness to Christ that's got him where he is now, which is actually in prison. Paul is writing this from either, we don't know if it was quite house arrest or actually in prison, but he's under arrest, is Paul, when he's writing this. And he says, that's how I ended up where I am today. But God has led me there. And even so, Paul is happy to entrust himself to God, because whatever happens, God will still fulfill his purpose and his promise to eternal life. We live in a society that has suddenly decided to give us a wonderful opportunity. We can take what's called our pension pot and do what we like with it. All that money that has been saved up, that has been put aside, often by us while at work, but by the government as well, when you reach a certain age, you can take that pot and do what you like with it. I'm not quite sure. I think they think that people can get better deals elsewhere. But if that pot of money is going to provide you a pension, you have to entrust it to someone who is trustworthy. And Paul says, I'm sure that the God who I dedicated my life to is trustworthy. And he will look after that life until the day of Christ. And therefore, the ups and downs, I still trust him. Now, of course, the other is true. What you do with your pension pot and with the money can be sensible or it can be stupid. And so Paul then, just those few verses on, says to Timothy, God has entrusted you with something. He's entrusted you with the knowledge of his son and with the ability to tell other people about that, to bear witness to him. You're a teacher. What does Paul say he is? Paul says that he was a herald, somebody who went out and proclaimed the good news. He was an apostle to bear witness to the resurrection of Christ. And he was a teacher. That's Paul's calling. And he says to Timothy, you're a teacher of the faith, so teach. He says to all of us, you've received, God's entrusted to you the wonder of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now you mustn't squander it, but it's a trust that you will show that and use that in the right way. It's been entrusted to you. Look after it, but use it. So, God has done great things. We've been handed down the truth about Christ, which has become our own. But in Christ, God has a purpose for us. So, let's be thankful for all we've received, and let's be bold in the way that we share it, remembering that in the end, God is ultimately in charge.